Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Thank you for choosing us. Today's show is going to be about the Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. We'll also be talking about smart meters and current news events. If you'd like to give us a call, you can call us on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. So please sit back, open your minds and enjoy the show.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, great, great. Today we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We already have quite a few people in our queue. When we do begin taking calls, we will be talking to the caller from 718 first. So just be aware that we see you guys there. We just got a lot of stuff to cover today. But one of the first things that I really want to talk about is this new Mercury retrograde that's starting up soon. This time it is in Scorpio. Now, what happens when Mercury decides to slow down a little bit, it starts to create this phenomenon called the Mercury retrograde, and we talk about this every retrograde. But this particular time, there is a cosmic alignment with a serious discussion, as this is another aspect in our horoscope that has the potential to either wreak havoc in our lives or create miracles. Now, remember, Mercury is about communication and words, and the zodiac sign we know and love as Scorpio is about digging to the truth. So you can imagine when Mercury slows down or goes retrograde in Scorpio, a lot of stuff is going to come to the surface that is going to be just plain difficult to deal with. Or it could be awesome, because remember, something bad may be happening for you, but it's happening amazing for someone else. And because the universe tends to allow itself to balance itself out, sometimes, you know, every dog gets its day. The good news is that you get to decide. You're in the captain's chair. And here's a great action plan for navigating this murky aspect step by awkward step. What does this aspect mean? Generally speaking, Mercury is the planet that deals with journeys, transportation, technology, contracts, intelligence, and legal matters, coming to an almost stop in the most secretive and intense signs of them all. It's an aspect that is going to last in our horoscope for 2 months. Now, normally Mercury doesn't last that long in the individual zodiac sign, but when it is in retrograde, as we have previously discussed, it slows down. So essentially speaking, when you have the planet of chit-chat retrograde in the under-the-surface mysterious zodiac sign, you're going to have a lot of awkward situations. Some of them will be amazing, and some of them will be just that, awkward. How are you going to deal with it? These are the things that you need to remember. The key of any astrological aspect are the themes that will manifest in your life almost whether you want them to or not. These are themes that you may not be used to, or they may be themes that you are very comfortable with. We address them here because knowing what the themes of Mercury and Scorpio are ahead of are ahead of time will help. When one of these crops up in your life, you can go, aha, Mercury is still in retrograde in Scorpio. So digging for clues and hidden information. Suddenly, you want to know everything about everyone. You will ask intense questions during conversations with new people, as they will with you. Being guarded, as much as you will want to know, you will want to keep things private. This is true Scorpio style. She does not let her secrets go, but will stop at nothing to get yours. You won't be able to avoid putting up a few walls now, but don't be afraid to tear them down. Secrets you reveal during this period are going to bring you closer to someone. You'll notice the two key themes of this aspect are in direct opposition to each other. That's the cosmic punch of Mercury's retrograde in Scorpio. So how are you going to deal with this slow planet in this intense zodiac sign? Okay, here we go. Mark these dates. Everybody, if you've got your pen and paper, mark these dates. From shadow period to shadow period, we have this period in effect from the 21st, which was yesterday of October, to November the 27th. These are the dates you can expect the most of this chit-chat and guarded activity. Another date to note is November the 3rd, the eclipse. Meditate, meditate, meditate for enlightenment on some of those secrets you've been trying to uncover. Now, remember, we do a soul space meditation, and anyone who has had it will tell you. that it is better than medication. It is almost like getting years of enlightenment in a shot. It's so amazing. And so this is something that if you have been trying to overcome something, if you've been trying to, create something, just trust me. This is something that is absolutely awesome, and it is very necessary. And if it's something that any of you guys are interested in, make sure that you block out about an hour of your day where you can have no distractions, and it will just be you and me, one-on-one, going into the deep. And I'm telling you, it is something that you just need. Now, make note of the re-themes in this retrograde. Re-edit, rewrite, re-evaluate, reimagine, reconsider, recover, revamp. You will be repeating a lot of words, communication, messages, and even experiences. You will be reliving a lot and see a lot from your past come up. So get used to it. Now, with Mercury in a water sign, your messages and communications to come, they'll be in a variety of forms. Not all of them conventional. Keep your dream journal handy and pay attention to every single life experience, waking or otherwise. Make a list of the mysteries in your life that need to be solved. Are you looking for a family member? Have health concerns that puzzle you? Wondering about a soul connection? You have the cosmic energy now to solve those mysteries. Make a list and then begin tackling them. Watch for signs of synchronicities. Scorpio is a very intuitive zodiac sign and depends almost exclusively on signs and synchronicities or happy coincidences to rule their lives. These will be abundant during this period, especially if you ask your guides to send them to you. These signs are the key holders to the secrets you are looking to uncover. Also, take note of where Mercury sits in your horoscope. Get a horoscopic reading. Like for me, Mercury sits in the moon. So a great way to describe that is the stuff that I try to hide, which is in my moon, like everyone else's, but mine is in Scorpio, so I guess I have secrets that have secrets. But anyway, now, don't be surprised if someone from your past shows up out of the blue. Scorpio is about soul connections, and these could be romantic or otherwise. Always look fabulous before you leave the house if this kind of surprise delights you. If it doesn't, have a fail-safe statement to provide to anyone that may reenter your life at any moment in the most unwelcome way. Hey, great to see you. Wish I could chat, but I'm on the way to meet my awesomely wealthy and gorgeous fiancé. Have a nice life. Something like that. But this is precisely how Scorpio would handle it, and so must you, whether you were doing precisely that or sitting on the couch and wishing you were. Come from a place of yes. This is a period where the more positive you are in your communication vis-a-vis Mercury, the more miracles you will produce in your emotional life vis-a-vis Scorpio. Come from a place of yes or a place of openness and acceptance. Don't be so quick to say no if you're usually in the no place. Say yes first, and you just never know what is possible. Scorpio says yes until she gets what she wants and doesn't even hear the word no. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to embrace all of the potential that Scorpio does every day. Many people fear the Mercury retrograde period showing up in their horoscope, but this month we get a little gift from our Mercury retrograde as it enters Scorpio during its slowest movement. During this time, you can create some true miracles in your life by harnessing that powerful Scorpio intensity and passion with the gift of communication as only Mercury can do. So, think about what secrets you're hoping to uncover during this time so that you can manifest an amazing experience and not just feel like you're the victim of what Mercury seems to do. And that's it. So what do you think?
Good.
Awesome. So, what is it that's on your mind today, or what is there anything that's been happening over the past week that's just kind of, sitting out there, waiting to be knocked over the wall?
I'll tell you what, I'll play a song and we'll talk about it when we get back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my thing, I pressed a button on my headset. That was weird. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about?
I said, play a song and we'll talk about it when we get back.
Okay, awesome. Also, real quickly, last week we had Linda Drury on the show, and we had some really awful audio issues all of a sudden, which is so annoying, and it just keeps happening. And she was talking about melodrama, which is basically it's a company of people that do the murder mysteries. So if anybody is in the Middle Tennessee area, that's something fun and for people to do the murder mystery dinners, the murder mystery theater, that sort of thing, But in the meantime, we're gonna, like Bill said, we're gonna play a little song and then we'll get caught up with him. And then after that, we're going to talk to the caller at 718. So this is Broken Earth Radio Show. And we'll be right back.
Brides, ghouls, and goblins, have you heard the news? Right now, a diabolical plot is hatching right in the heart of Middle Tennessee. Places like Bellbuckle, Columbia, Gallatin, Hermitage, Clarksville, Lebanon, Springfield, and Murfreesboro are all preparing for Dracula's Masquerade Ball. These special events are being held in a location you've been dying to see. Murder Mystery Dinner Theater is coming to a town near you. Be among the first to figure out who, what, where, when, and why. Join Dracula and his three lovely brides and special guests for singing, dancing, and murder. Dress to impress because prizes will be awarded. Visit melodramatheater.org for complete details including locations, times, and more. melodramatheater.org or call 615-417-2034.
Send that old Dracula back! Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com. 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
And we're back. So, Bill, what's on your mind?
A lot of things.
Well, why don't you share the first thing?
Oh, well, there's a lot. Oh, you mean relating to the show?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, my dad's supposed to be, well, some people want to fit a smart meter in my dad's house for the utilities, you know, for electric and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you heard about the smart meters, have you?
No.
Well, I'll come back to them in a bit. I'll talk about that after the next caller, but I'll cover some news.
Okay.
There's one about Diet Coke. Diet Coke, the second most popular soft drink in the country, may be losing some of its pop. During a conference call with the analysts Tuesday, a Coca-Cola executive noted that a soda brand was under a bit of pressure because of people's concerns over its ingredients, alluding to the growing wariness of artificial sweetness in recent years. The head of Coca-Cola's North American and Latin American business noted that the issue wasn't specific to Diet Coke, but that many diet foods and drinks in the USA are facing the same concerns. We believe very strongly in the future of Diet Coke. So the representative, noting that the drink was still the number two soda in the US after knocking Pepsi from the perch in 2010. The company sells twice as much regular Coke as Diet Coke. The representative also noted that the company is investing in boosting Diet Coke's performance, pointing to recent promotions with singer Taylor Swift as an example. Soda has been under fire from the health advocates for several years now, and Americans have been cutting back on sugary fizz for some time. But in somewhat newer developments, Diet Soda is falling at a faster rate than regular sodas, according to the Beverage Digest, an industry tracker. Last year, for example, sales volume for Coke fell 1%, while Diet Coke fell 3%, Pepsi fell 3.4%, while Diet Pepsi fell 6.2%. Those figures aren't going unnoticed in Coca-Cola's Atlanta headquarters. This summer, the company launched its first ad addressing the safety of aspartame to ease concerns people might have. It's also distributed fact sheets on the topic to its brothers and retailers who sell Coke products. The Food and Drug Administration says aspartame may be safely used in foods as a sweetener, and the American Cancer Society has said that most studies using people have found that aspartame is not linked to increased risk of cancer. Still, the broader trend in the U.S. has been toward foods and drinks people feel are natural or organic.
Right.
And Coca-Cola is clearly aware of the shift. The company is working on producing sodas made with natural low-calorie sweeteners. It's also launched a version of its namesake drink sweetened with stevia in Argentina this summer. Stevia comes from a plant of the same name. Meanwhile, Coca-Cola said that sales volumes for the regular full-calorie Coke rose 2% in North America in its latest quarterly results reports on Tuesday. Coke Zero, which is made with artificial sweeteners and targeted more toward men, rose 5%. The company didn't break out Diet Coke's performance, but overall soda volume for the region was flat. So people are put off because of the aspartame and artificial sweeteners, isn't it?
Right. And it's true. They make you feel bad, and not only that, they're not good for you, right?
I think we're having some connection problems again.
We're having connection problems again?
I think so. I mean, Skype keeps killing itself.
Oh, yeah, it is starting to act out. It's starting to sound sketchy. And we lost a lot of people that were in the queue, too. If anybody in the room, Kiwi, can you hear us okay? Can you say how we sound? Oh, this is just the pits. Nobody, but they're not
in. I mean, it sounded okay. If you just stay quiet for a minute.
Okay.
The playback sounded okay at the moment. So.
And Kiwi said, I can hear you both okay. Okay. All right.
There we go. Sorry. See the next article. There are times when a simple spray or powder just won't do the job. Faced with a 1.5-meter-wide nest of hornets perched 30 meters up a tree, one Chinese town felt there was no option but to call in the army, complete with military-issue flamethrower. The insects, which can grow up to 1.5 inches long, had reportedly already stung one local to death, so the locals refused to take any chances. Available videos show officers dressed in camouflage uniforms and wearing gas masks as if they were preparing to enter a war zone. Having surveyed the area, one officer places the flamethrower precariously on the shoulder of a colleague before launching a bolt of fire into the tree. After a few more bursts, the hornet nest is seen engulfed in fire. The unit's commander said their extreme tactics were necessary. The wasp nest is quite big, he told the local news crew. It would be difficult to remove, so after having a meeting to discuss the nest, it was decided that the best course of action would be to take it down with a flamethrower. The extermination apparently took place in the town of, last year. Their methods might appear entirely justified given the recent plague of deadly hornets, which have killed dozens of people and injured more than 1,600 in the north of the country. The latest incident, nearly 30 children have been hospitalized with severe organ failure after being stung. Some of the children were stung more than 200 times, according to one of the hospital doctors. It comes after it's revealed that more than 40 people have been killed by the aggressive insects. Now, government officials have started fighting fire with fire, literally by burning and gassing the thumb-sized bugs out of their hives. And I'll post the copy of that link so you can see the photo of them. I'll stick that in the chat room there. Just got a picture of the
killer hornet.
Yeah, and burning it, and these huge hornets.
Oh wow. Oh my gosh, are you serious? They're as wide as this person's hand.
Yeah. I'll read out one more news story and then we'll probably get to that caller, right?
Okay.
A mother returned home from holiday to find her house gutted after a blunder by a housing association. The family thought they had been burgled when they arrived back at the terrace property in Walnut Street, Manchester, to find Eastland Homes had stripped it of its curtains, carpets, a fridge, freezer, a washing machine, and even the family's clothes. Workers broke into the incorrect address to clear it after misreading the house number. It is believed they intended to go into the house just yards away at the opposite end of the street, but instead stormed the house while the owners were away. Upon arriving home, the victims believed they had been burgled and called 999, only for police to discover the mistake by Eastland Homes. The residents dashed to a nearby recycling centre to see if the goods could be retrieved, but they found most of the items had been moved on or destroyed. The residents of the property declined to speak this morning, citing a compensation agreement. However, a lady living there confirmed the mix-up. A neighbour who did not wish to be named said the housing associate made a mistake. The woman who lives there was running up and down the street when she got home screaming her head off. It soon became clear she hadn't been burgled. It was due to all of the palaver with the mix-up of the houses. East London Homes, who manage around 8,000 former council houses across East Manchester, are currently in the process of refurnishing the house and replacing items where possible. Workers from the House Housing Association could be seen in the property today. It's not clear how workers initially got into the house, but homes can be cleared if social housing providers believe that a tenant has died or has left the property with no intention of returning. Eastland's Homes confirmed the blunder, but refused to give any details, claiming it wanted to protect the victim's identity. Yeah, whatever. A spokesman for the Eastland's Homes said, "We can confirm that we removed a number of goods from a private home by mistake. We have put the matter right and replaced the goods without any formal agreement to the satisfaction of the resident who has accepted our sincere apologies." Greater Manchester Police confirmed the force received a call of a reported burglary. A spokesman said inquiries were made and it was identified that Housing Association removed the items from the house. It was decided no criminal offence had taken place. Why? And the matter was not investigated. If it is a criminal offence, someone's broken into the house and taken his stuff. Bosses of the Housing Association made headlines earlier this year after suggesting residents should give up Sky TV, cigarettes and bingo to make up for their government welfare cuts.
Yeah. My goodness. What do you think about that?
It's unforgivable, really.
I mean, everything, every single thing that those people had.
Just somebody made an error and went in. Chucked all their clothes and possessions away.
That is really sad. You know, there's some places where if somebody gets put out, they put their stuff out front and people just can go through their stuff like it's just, you know, it's a free-for-all. But it sounds like their stuff just literally was thrown away. That's really sad. That's really sad.
I read a story out a few weeks ago, didn't I, the same thing with a woman in America somewhere.
Yeah.
All stuff away.
Well, here's a question that we're going to be asking the callers when we take your calls. And we're going to be taking the call. We're going to be taking two calls, actually, in a row in a moment. We're going to be talking to the person from 718, and we're also going to be talking to the person from 727. But the question that we're going to have for you, so be thinking about this when we get back from our break, is would you rather be a worried genius or a joyful simpleton? So just think about that, and if you could, give us a real good answer, something pretty awesome, just to share. Again, we'll be talking to the callers from 718 and 727. We'll be right back in a moment. We're going to take a quick little break to kind of get myself geared down to do some reading. And remember, it's simple questions, so just a simple question. Nothing pretty deep because that's a real reading. But anyhow, we'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio, and we'll be back. Thank you. We're back. Let's see here. Let's take the caller from 718. 718, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, my name is Paris.
Hi, Paris. Well, hi. did you hear our question that we were putting out to people?
Yes, I did. I would rather be a joyful genius. I wouldn't really want to be either or.
Well, it's one or the other.
I mean, I don't, because it's like if you're worried and you're a genius, what's the, you know, there's nothing genius about that, because you would know that worrying really wouldn't get you anywhere. And what's the point of being a fool if you're joyful? Like, it's just, I don't know. I just, I wouldn't.
So you're kind of caught in the middle.
I'm neither. I would rather be neither, honestly. It's just because I don't feel you can have both. You can't be both of the same. Like, you can't be a genius and be worried. And you can't be, this is just my opinion, and you can't be a simpleton and be joyful. Because one day you're going to want to be, you know, to discover things, and you just can't because you're so gullible, you know?
Well, that's really good. That's a good way to look at it. But, you know, a simpleton doesn't know that he's a simpleton.
Mm.
And to be somebody who's so intelligent that you see things coming, I mean, it just comes with it. It just comes with it, you know. But you know what? You still make a very, very, very good point, because you want to be aware. You know,
right.
You're just kind of saying you want to be aware, but you still want to be happy. And so it's you know, but for some reason.
And who knows
worry,
if you can be aware and still be happy at the same time, because, you
no,
know,
but
like they say.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like
no, no I mean,
really,
that's what I'm saying. It comes with it.
Right.
It comes with it,
right.
Doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. It's all your opinion. So. Mm. But you know, it's I think that everybody, there's always going to be somebody that looks at one of us like we don't know what we're doing, though. There's always
yeah.
going to be somebody like that. So, but anyway,
yeah.
anyway, thank you for answering the question, Paris. But what's on your mind today? What's your simple question for our guides today?
Well, the Mercury retrograde, did it start already? Was it yesterday, or did it start Wednesday?
Well, this is just, we're still in just the shadow.
The shadow.
So it hasn't even started yet. But the shadow really began yesterday.
Right. I've been, like, really, honestly, really thinking over a lot of things in my love life, and I felt like just putting an end to it. Just I don't know, out of nowhere, I just said, and I was struggling with this for a long time, either to continue or to just be patient or to just end it, and I just felt like doing that. And so I wanted to kind of focus in on love with you.
Okay. I guess a good way for us to ask our guides to keep your question simple
yeah.
is, should you let it go?
Well, I know wholeheartedly I didn't let it go, but I just kind of I did that in a way where I didn't want to deal with it right now. So I was just wondering, you know, maybe the outcome of that, what would that be?
If you let it go, you want to know what will happen?
I sent a message, and I didn't really wait for an explanation. I just, you know, said what I had to say, and I was done with it, and that was my closure. And so I wanted to know, you know, what's the outcome of that.
Okay, but let's see. Okay, so you just threw it out there that it's over, and then you stepped away, and you want to see what's going to happen. Okay, let's see. Okay, hold on just a moment. Now, remember, just the pure fact that you're asking this question means that you really have not hit a place of closure.
Right.
Okay,
right. That's why
but it's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. You know, this is we're learning. We're learning. Now, basically what's going to end up happening is this person that you sent your message to, it's called a long pause. So it looks like you're probably not going to hear anything from him. I've got two ways we can look at this. It's either the rest of the month or the rest of the week. But the thing is, regardless, we're dealing with a week variance because it's just 2 weeks left of the month, right?
Right.
And so when we step into the next phase with this situation, it just honestly looks like you'll hear from him again, and he's going to be trying to talk to you about reconnecting, rekindling. And you just really have to take this little time out, whether it's a week or if it's 2 weeks, to really kind of feel yourself not in this situation anymore. So it does look like you'll hear from him. But like I said, it's going to be either be in a week or two. And just wanting to see you again. And it's you already know what he's capable of, evidently. And so it's up to you, honestly. Every single thing that's going on in this situation is all in your court. Whether you
want to
stay in limbo or not.
Can you tell me how does he show up in? Oh, okay. Can you tell me how he shows up in the spread?
Yeah, he shows up as the Page of Coins.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, no problem, dear. Thanks for calling.
Can
Thanks
I ask
you
another question? What would you choose with the question that you posed? Because no one really ever, you never really say what you choose when you ask the question. So I just wanted to know if you did make a choice.
You wanted to know what I would do?
No. What would you choose as far as the question that you're asking the callers?
Right.
Would you be a joyful simpleton or a
yes,
worried
I would.
Genius?
I would be a joyful simpleton. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes, I would. I would rather be joyful and not know better because it just wouldn't matter. And it's, I mean, I know that, I mean, you know, I say that not wanting to become one. I'm just
right.
saying if that's the role that was doled out to me, I would rather be one of those people that listens to Achy Breaky Heart and does the Macarena, and it's totally cool with me. I'd rather, Chili's delicious. Chili's is awesome. You know, I would love to be able to think mediocrity is amazing, because that means that everything would just be a lot easier. And there you go.
Okay, well that's nice. Thank you, Nunu.
No problem. Thanks for listening.
You're
okay.
welcome.
Bye bye. Bye bye. And we're now talking to the caller at 727. Hi, this is Broken Earth Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So what would you rather be?
Oh, yeah, I'd probably be like a joyful simpleton. That sounds good to me. Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I actually have a friend that's kind of like that, and he's just really a happy person, so I don't know. I prefer not to. Yeah, he's real simple. He laughs a lot, and he doesn't worry about anything, and I think that's kind of something you could almost envy.
You're right. You're right.
Sometimes I do. Yeah. I look at, like, God, you know, nothing fazes the guy, and he just goes along his day, and I'm like, wow, you don't even know. But what can you do?
Right. Right. Well, Lisa, if you had a question to throw out to your guides today, something very simple, or if there's anything that you wanted to talk about with the retrograde or just anything, what's your question today or what's your statement?
I wanted to focus on my love life. I wanted to see what you see coming up for me in that area.
Is there a person that you really want to talk about?
I'm single right now. I did have a split a few months ago. A little confused about that, but that's my background, basically.
Okay, well, we'll leave that. Well, I feel like we probably need to let that sit over to the side, and let's just kind of push you forward, and we'll see what's going to be coming up for you next, okay?
Okay.
Hold on just a moment. the end of November, there's going to be a gathering. It's not Thanksgiving. It's another gathering. It's a more sociable gathering. There's people, but there's not tons of cups. So what that basically says to me is that it could be it could be a party, but it could be a concert. It could be, you know, just it could even be lunchtime. But I do see you running across a person here at that point. His description that I'm seeing here is basically there's so much here. he looks like he's a very handsome guy, but he looks like he's also very, very, what's the word, over-expressive, a bit of like he's very complimentary and very quick to talk about very serious things. I don't know why I'm blushing right now. My cheeks are getting really red. But anyway, it looks like you're going to be in a pretty nice situation here. And then a little while after that, because it looks like he moves kind of quickly, it looks like he backs off for a moment, but he does come back again. And there's also another one. There's another guy that shows up here. And that guy looks like he is not completely separated from another relationship, but he's laying it on thick too. So basically you've got a couple of people who are coming into the picture relatively soon who look like they're already sick. And so at that point, we'll just kind of connect in with them and see what happens, okay?
Okay.
All right, dear. Well, Lisa, thank you for listening. And let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay.
All right, dear. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. You there, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you thinking?
Well, I'll continue with a few news articles, and then I'm going to get into smart meters.
Okay.
A man faked his own kidnapping in front of his terrified wife so he could spend the night boozing with his friends. Rogelio Andaverde arranged for two masked men to grab him from his home in Texas. Sorry, full stop there. His horrified wife watched as he was dragged at gunpoint from the house and driven away. She called cops who launched a hunt for the 34-year-old. His wife spent more than 5 hours with police being interviewed as police searched for the kidnapped victim, according to KTV. Her husband returned home the following day and said his kidnappers just let him go. Police became suspicious of the story, and he later confessed he made up the story because he wanted a night out with his friends without his wife. Two friends had posed as his abductors, wearing masks to hide their faces and carry guns. We took this incident very serious because of the circumstances described to us by the wife, said Sheriff Trevino. People don't just barge into your house and kidnap you for the hell of it. No, I'm sure they do. He said, Andaverde confessed that he wanted to go out partying with friends and came up with the plan. He added, I don't think his wife appreciated being kept until 4 or 5 in the morning, being interviewed by the cops while her husband was out doing who knows what with who knows who. He's going to have a lot of answering to do. Andaverde was booked into jail and charged with making a false report to police. He was released after paying £5,000 bail.
Oh, wow. That was the most expensive night out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Ever.
But, I mean, obviously, she wouldn't let him go out.
So he needed it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, what kind of position must he have been in to have to make up something like that just to go out with his friends?
A pretty bad one. okay, so come in, kidnap me, and we'll go party. That is just, I mean, I don't know. It's really funny to me.
It's pretty crazy.
I know.
Somebody sent off fireworks. It sounded like gunshots. You know, it surprised me how easy it is actually to buy a gun. I could get a gun if I wanted to. Here in the UK. It's actually surprised how easy it was. Only to fill in some forms, send them off. There you go. Go to the local gun place. Get myself a shotgun. I didn't know how easy it was until the other day. Somebody at work told me they got one. And I asked them how. Fill in some forms. No questions asked by anybody. Go and buy your gun by showing them your license. There you go. Bring it home.
It used to be a lot easier, though. I think, I can't remember when the laws changed in the United States, but I remember getting a shotgun from Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, and it was just in 1999. And it was like, I mean, bullets and everything, just went in there and bought it. I mean, there was paperwork to fill out, like, you know, but you could get the gun, you know, before you left.
Right.
Wow. Things are just different.
So, I'm going to be talking about smart meters. I don't know whether you have them over there, but smart meters are to be installed in every home in the UK by 2020. But what is a smart meter? Smart meters are a new kind of energy meter. This next generation of meters are a replacement for existing meters, referred to as dumb meters, and send electronic meter readings to your energy supplier automatically. Smart meters come with in-home displays which give you real-time feedback on your energy usage and what it is costing. There are both gas smart meters and electricity smart meters. A smart meter works by communicating directly with your energy supplier, so the company will always have an accurate meter reading and there's no need for you to take your meter reading yourself. Smart meters can work in a variety of different ways, including using wireless mobile phone type technology to send data. There are two main benefits to smart meters, and at least three. More accurate bills. Smart meters mean the end of estimated bills, the end of overpaying or underpaying for your energy. No one has to come into your home to read your meter. You do not have to submit meter readings yourself. Better oversight and management of your energy use with real-time data display in your home. Anyway, you get the idea of what it is.
Yeah.
And I want to put one in my mum and dad's house. But the problem is, people are saying there's problems with them. They're bad for you because of radiation and EMF. So, I managed to find a letter that had been put together. There's a website called Stop Smart Meters. It's got all the information on there, how they can affect you. And it's a letter that's been titled 3 pages long. All my dad would need to do is sign it, date it, and put his address on it because he doesn't want it. And they're saying, oh, you've got to have it. But, you know, it's like there's no choice in it. They're saying you're having a smart meter. So I'll read out some of what this letter says so you get an idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Notice of Non-Consent for Smart, in inverted commas, meter installation, Notice of Liability. Dear Chief Executive of Utility/Energy Provider, because I'll be going to whoever it needs to. I've done 4 copies, so we can send them to the government if he wants to. As well as agents, officers, employees, contractors, selected representatives of Parliament, the Health Protection Agency, and the number of interested parties. Be advised that you and all other parties are hereby denied consent for installation and use of any and all smart meters or any other surveillance and activity monitoring device or devices at my property and or place of residence as noted herein. Installation of use of any surveillance and activity monitoring device that sends and receives communications technology is hereby refused and prohibited. Consent is legally required for installation of any surveillance device and any device that will collect and transmit private and personal data to undisclosed and unauthorized parties for undisclosed and unauthorized purposes. Authorization for sharing of personal and private information may be given only by the originator and subject of that information. That authorization is hereby denied and refused with regard to the advised property and all its occupants. Smart meters violate many of the human rights such as those laid out by the European Convention on Human Rights under Article 1 of the First Protocol, Article 2, Article 3, 5, 8, and 12. Smart meters cause endangerment to residents through many factors, and my reasons for denying consent installation include, I'm not going to read them all out because there's a lot. Wireless smart meters, when activated, emit intense pulsed bursts of non-ionizing RF microwave radiation. More than 5,000 studies have shown that non-ionizing microwave radiation is harmful to humans, animals, and plants. On the 31st of May 2011, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer categorized RF EMFs as possible carcinogen, the same as lead, DDT, chloroform, and methylmercury. On the 6th of May 2011, the Council of Europe issued a report entitled Potential Dangers of EMFs and the Effect on the Environment, in which they called for an immediate reduction in exposure to EMFs by children. The Council advocates a precautionary principle will be applied to wireless emissions to prevent public health disaster akin to tobacco, lead, petrol, and asbestos. Smart meters will increase, not decrease, the EMF exposure to members of a household and their neighbors. As demonstrated by Daniel Hirsch, senior nuclear policy lecturer at UCSC, smart meters can expose the body to 160 times to 800 times as much microwave radiation as mobile phones. Smart meters can emit intense pulses of radiation in excess of 190,000 times every day. Human, animal, and cell cultural studies indicate long-term systemic health effects from RF microwave radiation, including hormone disruption, DNA damage, leakage of blood-brain barrier, sperm count reduction and damage, sleep disorders, learning difficulties, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorders, dementia and cancer, including leukemia and brain tumors. There is concern that pregnant women and children are particularly vulnerable. Let me scroll down, see what else there is. In January 2011, the American Association of Environmental Medicine has called for the complete removal of smart meters and return to safe analog due to scientific and medical studies repeatedly showing health risks from exposure to microwaves emitted from wireless devices. In March 2012, Dr. Andrew Goldsworthy research warned that smart meters via their strong RF microwave emissions can severely reduce water quality, leading to increased toxicity of poisons present in the body. This is particularly concerning for areas like London, where there's still lead pipes in use. Electromagnetically conditioned water flow can strip lead from pipes, leading to increase in toxin intake into the body and the food chain. Like I said, there's a lot of information there about it, but, you know, my dad's not well. He's got ME. And the last thing he needs is something being going to be in the middle of the house, you know, making him feel even worse than what he is. But there's a lot of studies here showing the problems of these smart meters. It sounds like, you know, it's been going on in America, by the way, that's talking. And it's likely to consume more energy as well, these and the analog ones. But, so, and at the bottom, the signs and dates, it's like it's about 3 pages long. But if they're trying, well, I suppose I won't really have to say anything because I don't own a house at the moment, I'm renting. So, if they tried to put one in, I guess I wouldn't really have much to say in it. I think I'd probably be wrapping it in tinfoil or something, you know.
And also, and make a hat too.
Well, yeah, if I needed to, you know.
Well, why don't you post that article on the page?
Okay, this is I'll post in the chat room the letter, if it works, as a PDF of what's going to be sent out. But you can also go to the Stop Smart Meters website as well, and if you put in your email address and do something there, they will automatically send it out to as many people as possible within, like, you know, utility providers and everything. They'll do it all for you.
Right.
But and my dad hasn't got an email address, and if I put it as mine, it might be, you know, I haven't got one, so he's going to do a few copies, and if they come to the door and try and come in and fit it, he's going to hand them this letter, and he's also going to send one to the utility providers and possibly the government as well, whoever's trying to enforce this. But I said that if when they come to fit them, if I don't, if I'm renting at the time, like I said, I won't have any say in it. It'll be up to the landlord. But I want people to be aware of that, you know. And like I said, if people who are listening to it on the archive show, who are interested in stopping the smart meters and want to find out any more information, go to stopsmartmeters.org.uk, and you can follow the links there to go to like first call of action and second call of action and information on there. So this is important that people are aware of the problems. Who'd have thought, you know?
Right. I'm trying to copy the, well, I think I can go there, and I've got the I'm going to post it on the Broken Earth Facebook page if anybody, so people can see it on there too.
Yeah.
That'll be something, you know, simple for anybody who's listening on the archives. You can just go to the page and find the link there. It'll be really simple for you. Very simple.
So we'll take a break, play a song.
Okay. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the caller at 832, and we're also going to talk to the caller at 954. There's quite a few people in the queue, and we see you all there. So just bear with us.
And I'll be talking about 14 inventors who were killed by their own inventions.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, this is Broken Earth Radio, and let's find something. I was going to play something that was very, you know, nice and soothing, but let's find something that's a little pickup. Hold on, let's see. I got a good one. Okay, we'll be right back, everybody.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew, nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 5555, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do, some machine's doing that for you. In the year 6565, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. Whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. Whoa, whoa. In the year 95, 95, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taking
it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may.
Hi, it's Broken Earth Radio Show, and we're going to be talking to the caller at 832-832. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Very good. Who are we speaking with?
Sure. My name's Neetu.
Neetu?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
N-I-T-U.
Okay. Neetu.
Yes.
Well, me too. Our question that we're putting out to people is basically, would you rather be a worried genius or a joyful simpleton?
A joyful simpleton. Only because
really?
I feel like worrying causes more stress.
You're right. You're right. You're right. And it would be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think, Bill? What would you rather be?
I'd say worrying genius because I don't know any different.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, me too. If you had one simple question to put out there to our guides, what's your question today?
It's basically the same theme as the other two callers, about love life.
Okay. Is there somebody in particular that you really want to talk about, that you really want to ask your question on, or did you just, you know, it's up to you.
No, I'm single right now.
So but you don't want to talk about anybody from the past? Okay, cool. No, that's simple. that's really simple.
I mean, if they come up, that's fine. I don't know if they're going to come up or not, so.
Hold on just a moment.
Sure.
Do you keep meeting people that, like, just sort of meet and then they just don't go anywhere?
Do you mean like romance? I'm sorry, I'm like typing in the background, that's why I thought.
Okay, okay. Well, because what I'm seeing here is there's this thing that looks like it's happening soon with you, but I'm seeing that it's something that keeps happening where you kind of meet somebody and it really doesn't go far. You know, it just kind of seems like
mm-hmm.
you're going to be going through some of this for a little while. And
okay.
Then, finally, there's a point here a little down the road, and we basically look like time has moved on maybe around till February or March. It's a few months away where you've got
mm-hmm.
somebody that you really seem to click with. I mean, very much
okay.
so.
Okay.
And,
is this a new person or from my past?
No, though this actually looks like it's a new person. It's a totally brand
okay.
new person. But the thing is that you do seem to gradually start to develop some sort of like a chatting or a talking with somebody that you used to know, because this person kind of looks like an old. It looks like it's literally the interpretation here is an old baby. So by old, I mean previous, like a previous baby, like somebody you used to really care for and take care of. But it looks
mm-hmm.
like you guys gradually start talking, but he's a separate person than the person that looks like he comes along and that you really are starting to really dig in deep with. So it looks like you guys are going to be able to be friends. But, you know, when you actually start meeting people, let us know and we'll be able to kind of tap into them better. Okay?
Okay. Just, I mean, I had a recent breakup. Is that completely done with, or is we're still going to connect?
No, you guys will connect, but like I said, it looks like you guys are going to be doing something that resembles friendship. So it's
okay.
Like you're not shutting yourself off to other people.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And me too. Let us know how you're doing. Okay?
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take the next caller. If I can click it. It's the caller at 954. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. Who's this?
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Well, Lisa, as far as our question today, what do you think about that?
I guess I don't want to be worried about anything constantly, so I'll say joyful.
Okay. And that's a good reason, because you don't want to be worried. You don't want to stress. Thinking far ahead,
exactly.
And just more, and wearing yourself out with it, right?
Exactly.
Well, if you have a simple question for your guides today, what's your simple question?
Do you see any job opportunities coming my way?
Hold on just a moment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Did you have one recently, an opportunity?
Yes. They haven't really called me as yet to see if I can get it or not.
Okay.
No.
Okay, hold on. Let me go forward here. Next week. There it is. It's next week, and it looks like it's around the 25th. No. I'm sorry. The first, November 1st.
Okay.
It looks like you should be matched up, but it seems like it's from something that's already set in motion. That's why I was asking you about that, because when I go backwards, it kind of looks like you, I mean, there's already a reciprocation. So it looks like you may have felt like this was going to work out. It's just that you haven't heard from anybody. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It looks like next week you should be hearing from them, and you should know. Okay. So that's
okay,
where it looks like it is. So
I was kind of hesitant too, because I wasn't too sure this would be a good fit too. I feel that they liked me, but I didn't know if it would be a good fit, you know, with the hours and, you know, things like that.
Right. Well, it looks like you're going to have an offer at that point. Now, if you, just really don't think that this is something that's going to work out for you,
mm-hmm.
and you want to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. There's another opportunity coming up. Oh, gosh, and that one, there's, it just keeps, it's like there's another one coming up, but it still seems like you may not want to do that one. There's another one coming up that looks like it does, it doesn't, it's okay, but it doesn't seem to give you, the responsibilities are in an awkward position. So it looks like you're, there might be a little bit of what you want and a little bit of what you don't, you know, stacked in there. But all of this stuff, everything that we're talking about, looks like it's taking place within a span of about 4 weeks. So you've got some opportunities, and it's I'm not even feeling cryptic about like you getting hired on someplace. It just honestly seems like it's what you feel like is going to work for you. So like I said, let's just focus on the next 4 weeks. Between now and around the 11th of November, that week right there, and we're going to kind of watch and see what happens during this time period, okay?
Okay, okay. I don't want to accept something that, you know, I'm not going to enjoy, so.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, if you just kind of, you know, when I work with people and they're trying to get a job or, you know, just manifest a job in a situation that may feel almost impossible, you know, do research on the company, do a drive-by of the place, you know, just kind of see how you feel about the environment. Because remember, as long as if you just look at something as a starting point, you can always move around within the company. And, you know, you just got to keep yourself open to possibilities. And just if you can see yourself showing up somewhere every day, that's a good start.
Okay.
All right.
All right,
well,
that makes sense.
Thank you
so
much for listening. All right, dear.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bill?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. Just getting the information together. I was actually just looking at a new pay system that's been set up. We're not getting pay slips anymore for work. It's online. I was just looking at, you know, I'm sad now because I just realized I paid about £10,000 worth of tax over the past, you know, so many years.
Taxes.
Well, McDonald's is closing all its restaurants in Bolivia.
Right.
You said that as if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
You already know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not everybody may know that.
Sorry, something was crawling a minute. In fact, there's something called a false widow spider over here. And people are being bitten by it. You have to go to hospital and stuff and things. But it's always hype in the newspaper about it. And the bite is something like 12 times worse than a rattlesnake bite or something.
You're kidding.
And apparently there was two in work the other day in the back of the Defender, and I didn't see them, unfortunately. But the thing is, all this hype going on, you know what's made its way over here? People are getting bitten, you know. Had your kids. Had your wife. But the thing is, they've been here for 100 years.
They're just coming out.
Yeah, well, they've been here for 100 years. People are like, it's like hype, it's like the new iPhone or something, you know, I don't know what's going on.
Remember that spider that was crawling on you?
You punched me in the face. In the middle of the night.
You're not laughing.
Well, it wasn't even on my face. It was crawling across my chest.
It
punched me in the face. It was crawling across my chest.
Oh, well.
I saw a spider the other day. It's called a woodlouse spider. I haven't seen one before. It looked horrible. It had, like, bright red legs and, like, a gray, like, tick-like body.
Oh, my gosh, you're making me scared.
Well, someone said today that black widows are making their way over here now.
Oh my gosh, you're terrifying me.
I'm the Black Widow spiders as well.
Oh my gosh. Somebody on Facebook had posted this picture of this big, gigantic, huge thing that had come up from South America, and then it was in Texas. It was a big, gigantic spider, and it was like all over the side of a wall of a house. And it said something about how it took bullets to take it down. But then if you look at it, if you find the story, there's actually a guy, it's a wolf spider that he blew up to be really, really huge on the side of the house just to scare people. Probably just testing hoaxes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no big, gigantic spider the size of a tricycle. The biggest spider they said that they know of right now, the leg span is about a foot long, but you could fit the body in the palm of an average man's hand, which is still huge.
Well, the biggest one is the bird catcher spider. Yeah, I've looked at that link I posted in the chat room. But...
Okay. Oh, my gosh, it's just terrifying. You said something about a spider the other day that made me just want to, you know, just leave Earth.
Did you look at the link?
Is this the one?
Yeah, click at the link in the chat room.
Oh, my gosh, that's what you were talking about. Oh, my gosh, that's what you were talking about. Oh, my God, that's what you were just talking about. The other day. I'm sorry. This is making me feel very, very, I'm having anxiety. I need a nerve pill.
Scientist discover winged spider. So I think everybody should click on that link there.
And just get terrified because it's got like wings of a fly and body of a hell bat, hell creature. Oh my goodness.
I bought these fake spiders and ants from Pound Shop the other day. I've been leaving them all over the work, people's desks and everywhere.
Uh-huh.
It's been great. Anyway, McDonald's Happy Image and its golden arches aren't the gateway to bliss in Bolivia. The South American country isn't falling for the barrage of advertising and fast food cooking methods that so easily engulf countries like the United States. Bolivians simply don't trust food prepared in such little time. The quick and easy mass production methods of fast food actually turns Bolivians off altogether. 60% of Bolivians are indigenous population.
Right.
Who generally don't find it worth their health or money to step foot in McDonald's. Despite its economically friendly fast food prices, McDonald's couldn't coax enough of the indigenous population of Bolivia to eat their Big Macs, McNuggets, or McRibs. You know, it puts me off McRibs. I was reading somewhere that they actually, when they took it away for analysis, they actually found a material in it that's actually used to make yoga mats.
Didn't I send you a picture of a McRib and it looked like a yoga mat?
I don't think so.
I sent you a picture of a McRib and you were like, what in the... Well...
You know, you said you were eating it.
I was not eating it. You know I wasn't eating that, man.
You're doing yoga on it?
I was taking a picture of it because there was somebody else who was eating it.
Yeah.
And you know I wasn't eating that.
You're eating it in McDonald's all the time. One indigenous woman, Mr. Chuck, waiting for a bus to arrive outside a McDonald's restaurant, said, the closest I ever came was one day when a rain shower fell and I climbed the steps to keep dry by the door. Then they came out and shooed me away. They said I was dirtying the place. Why would I care if McDonald's leaves Bolivia? Anyway, it goes on, but there you go.
So, yeah.
I mean, McDonald's, I mean, how often do I go to McDonald's?
Once every 5 or 6 months. And if you don't even go there, somebody brings it there.
It's not even that. I mean, it's once a year, maybe. For maybe a sausage egg McMuffin, maybe, you know.
But you don't even go there. Somebody brings it to you.
I don't even go there. I don't really get fast food. The only thing I do is get Subway, but I get, like, chicken tikka, which is one of the lower calories ones there, you know.
Well, I love McDonald's, so, you know, it's my favorite chef.
No KFC? I've been to KFC 3 times in my life.
You have never really been to fast food restaurants ever.
I know. You know what? I walked in there one day, and there was a guy wearing a name tag, and his name was Bill Doyle.
It was like an alternative universe, and you were working in...
But the KFC, where I went to, there's nowhere to sit down. It's like the area... It was like a bus stop, the size of the area on the floor where you could stand to order your food. Right. 14 inventors who were killed by their own inventions. And I'll post this link in the chat room so you can see the pictures. It says, I guess Dr. Frankenstein would fit in this category. An amazing look at inventors who timed this.
You did.
Who inventions turned on them. It should be whose inventions turned on them. And they spelled inventors wrong. In a way, I guess one has to be careful of what they create. One has to be careful of what they create. You know what annoys me when people say, oh, it's Frankenstein. Frankenstein's going to be... It's actually Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
Annoys me. Anyway. In 1772, Frenchman Sieur Fremenet tried to invent a rebreathing device for scuba diving that recycled the exhaled air from inside of the barrel. This was the first self-contained air device. Unfortunately, Fremenet's invention was a poor one, and the inventor died from lack of oxygen after being in his own device for 20 minutes. On May 17, 1930, Max Valier, an Austrian rocketry pioneer, was killed when an alcohol-fueled rocket exploded on his test bench in Berlin. In 1928 and 1929, Valier worked with Fritz von Opel on a number of rocket-powered cars and aircraft. For the late 1920s, Valier was focused his efforts on liquid-fueled rockets. Their first successful test with liquid fuel occurred in the Heyland plant on January 25, 1930. On April 19, 1930, Valier performed the first test drive of a rocket car with liquid propulsion, the Valier Heyland Rack 7. 1 month later, the alcohol-fueled rocket exploded during a test. You know what I thought then? I thought, why would you put something flammable in a car to fuel it? But that is just ludicrous. Why would I say that? So I won't. In 1876, Englishman Henry Floss invented a closed-circuit oxygen rebreather. This suit used compressed oxygen instead of compressed air. His invention was originally intended to be used in the repair of the iron door of a flooded ship's chamber. Floss then decided to use his invention for a 30-foot dive underwater. Unfortunately, he died from the pure oxygen. Oxygen is toxic to humans under pressure. On February 4th, 1912, Franz Reichelt, an Austrian-born French tailor, inventor, and parachuting pioneer, jumped from the Eiffel Tower while testing a wearable parachute of his own design. Despite attempts by his friends and spectators to dissuade him, he jumped from the first platform of the tower while wearing his invention. Unfortunately, the parachute failed to deploy and he crashed into the icy ground at the foot of the tower. Now, if you go to Google today, actually, it's on about the 216th anniversary of the first parachute jump.
Right.
I thought to myself, shouldn't it be, you know, is that the first successful parachute jump? Maybe. Actually, a video of him jumping off. You go wrong. Karel Sukek was a Canadian professional stuntman who was famous for inventing the capsule and riding it down Niagara Falls on the occasion. On that occasion, he survived, although he suffered some injuries. On January 19, 1985, Sukek convinced a company to finance a barrel drop from the top of the Houston Astrodome in Texas. A special waterfall was created from the top of the 180-foot structure with a plunge pit at the bottom. However, instead of landing in the center of the tank of water, the barrel hits the rim, causing the capsule to splinter and severely injuring him. Sukek died the next day. On April 3rd, 1867, William Bullock, an American inventor whose 1863 invention of the Webb rotary printing press helped revolutionize the printing industry due to its great speed and efficiency, was making adjustments to one of his new presses. Bullock tried to kick a driving belt into a pulley. However, his leg was crushed when it became caught in the machine. After a few days, he developed a gangrene. On April 12, 1867, Bullock died in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, during an operation to amputate the leg. On September 13, 1913, a Roman engineer, inventor, airplane constructor, and early pilot, died near Campina while attempting to be the first person to fly across the Carpathian Mountains, is that right? In his own airplane, which he named Vlissu. He had to use his last name, didn't it, as the name for his plane. Anyway, in 1912, he won several prizes, totaling 7,500 Austro-Hungarian crone for a precise landing projectile throwing insights flying around a pole in the Aspen Air Show near Vienna. He competed against 42 other famous aviators of the day, including Roland Garros. Yeah, so what happened to him? I guess he must have lived then. So you can see what happened to him. Okay, there's somebody else. And the famous American mechanical engineer and chemist Thomas Midgley Jr. contracted poliomyelitis at the age of 51. He became severely disabled. The situation led him to devise an elaborate system of strings and pulleys to help others lift him from the bed. November the 2nd, 1944, at the age of 55, Midgley died of strength.
What?
Out of strangulation due to the system when he was entangled within the ropes of his own device.
You're kidding.
About that, sorry.
No, I mean, it's not funny, but it's crazy.
I know. On October the 15th, 1863, Horace Lawson Hunley, 40, a Confederate marine engineer, died when his own hand-powered submarine, the H.L. Hunley, was accidentally trapped on the bottom of Charleston Harbor. On August 10th, 1896, Otto Lilienthal, so why do they have complicated names? Lilienthal, a German pioneer of aviation, was testing his hang gliders in the Rinnau Hills in Germany. The first flights were successful, reaching a distance of 250 meters in his normal glider. However, during the fourth flight, his glider stalled. He tried to re-establish lift by swinging his body back to the correct altitude of the glider. The maneuver failed, and he fell from a height of about 15 meters while still in the glider. He suffered a fracture of his third cervical vertebrae and soon became unconscious. He died about 36 hours after the crash. Okay, a couple more to go here. On June 15th, 1785, Jean-Francois Delattre Berosier, a French chemistry and physics teacher and one of the first pioneers of aviation, died when his Berosier balloon suddenly deflated without the envelope catching fire and crashed near Wilmoreau in the Pas de Calais during an attempt to fly across the English Channel. He and his companion, Pierre Romain, became the first known fatalities in the air crash. On August 16th, 2009, it's quite recent, Michael Dacre, 53, an aviation pioneer, a managing director of British-based company Avco Limited, was conducting the first test flight of his own flying taxi. However, when he took to the air, 150 miles north of Malaysian capital Kuala Lumpur, the aircraft plunged to earth and the explosion claimed his life. Flying taxi. According to legend, Wan Hu was a minor Chinese official, supposedly of the Middle Ming dynasty, 16th century, who decided to take advantage of China's advanced rocket and fireworks technology to launch himself into outer space. He supposedly had a chair built with 47 rockets attached. On the day of liftoff, Wan, wonderfully attired, climbed into his rocket chair while 47 servants lit the fuses and then hastily ran for cover. There was a colossal explosion, and smoke cleared. Wan and the chair were gone, never to be seen again. precursor of the story of Wan Hu appeared in an article by John Alfred Watkins, publisher in the October the 2nd, 1909 issue of the Scientific American, but he used the name Wang Tu instead of Wan Hu. What's that all about? Tradition asserts that the first to sacrifice himself to the problem of flying was Wang Tu, a Chinese Mandarin, of about 2,000 years BC. 2,000 years BC. Yu Having had constructed a pair of large parallel and horizontal kites, seated himself in a chair, fixed between them while 47 attendants, each with a candle, ignited 47 rockets placed beneath the apparatus. However, the rocket under the chair exploded, burning the Mandarin, and so angered the emperor that he ordered a severe paddling for Wang.
Stop, that just sounds so bad.
It sounds so good, you mean? My Wang and paddling.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, okay, this is the last one. and thank God, because his name's crazy. Abu Nasir Ism il Ibn Hamad al-Johar. a Muslim Turkic scholar from Farab and the author of notable Arabic dictionary died while attempting flights from the roof of a mosque in Nishapur using two wooden wings and rope between 1002 and 1008. There you go, it's all over.
You did a good one on that last name.
It's pretty difficult.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left to the show, so I think we'll be able to take one more caller. We're gonna listen to a song, and then we're gonna come back and talk to the caller at 5:10. Hopefully, we might be able to squeeze somebody else in, but we'll be right back. And we're back. Caller at 510, who's this?
Hello, my name is Kimberly. How are you?
Oh, good, Kimberly. Very good. Did you hear our question that we were throwing out to people today?
No, I think I missed that.
Okay. Well, our question for you is, would you rather be a worried genius or a joyful simpleton?
Well, I've been a worried genius. And and it wasn't so much fun. So I think I'd rather be a joyful simpleton.
I know that's right. To not even have to worry about anything and just be, everything be okay.
Yes, exactly.
Everything's okay.
Exactly.
Well, Kimberly, if you had a really simple question to put out to your guide today, what's your question right now?
Okay, well, there's only one juicy little tidbit on my mind, and that is a friend, my dearest best friend, and I are looking to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, hopefully the early part of this coming year. And right now we're both just trying to get in a financial space to be able to live more comfortably. And so I'm just looking at them because I made a move that I feel was a mistake, which I know there aren't many such things, but I'm just looking at the great possibilities of that happening for us, of being able to build a home in New Mexico.
Okay, in Santa Fe. Okay, hold on just
Santa
a moment.
Fe.
Hold on just a, yeah. Hold on just a moment there.
Yes.
I feel really good about it, to be honest, but I want to see what our guides are adding to it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's see. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. You guys are going to do it. I mean, it's almost too simple. I mean, I know it's not going to be simple, but I'm just saying that the way that everything seems to fall in line for you, even the way it looks like you have a job lined up before you go, it just really starts to fall in place. And, I mean, it does look like it's going to be a heavy move, a very, very, very heavy move. Now, when you get there, you've got, I mean, everything, like I said, looks like it's lined up in place. Now, there is, are you taking a child with you?
Actually, we only have pets.
Okay, so these are kids. Okay, because there's little pages, there's actually a page running around here in particular that I don't want to put you into a place of being worried, but I want you just to keep an eye on your critters.
Okay.
Because, I know you're already going to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not even seeing you losing your pet. It just really looks like you're dealing with a pet that may have some anxiety.
Oh, yeah, that's very possible.
Okay, so when I was concerned about a child, and of course I'm going to be concerned about an animal too, but it really does look like this is a pet that's going to have some anxiety. So it's going to be a little. I mean, it's cute and because it's an animal, but it's still somebody that's suffering. Okay, so just that honestly looks like it's going to be your thing that you're like, I don't know why he's acting like this. I don't, you know what I mean? So it's going to be the change. Even with everybody in the environment kind of being the same, the change does look like it's going to affect them. So just be aware of that. But everything looks like it's going to come together. And your next cycle, and whenever I'm talking about cycles to people, I'm talking about the time between summer and summer, is actually called the King of Coins.
Okay.
So not only is this a financial cycle, but you're also going to be dealing with some interesting ethical challenges. So just remember, you've got a whole lot of stuff that's coming to surface and that's coming up. But, you know, we'll be able to talk about it over time. But for your answer, you're going to do it. You're going to do it.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know probably which pet that is. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Okay, then. I thank you so much, and I'll keep in touch as well.
Great, and thanks for listening, okay?
Thank you.
All right, dear. Bye-bye. To anybody who wants to get in touch with us outside of the show, you can reach us through Facebook, Broken Earth Radio Show, as well as Psychic Nunu. If you'd like to get in touch with Bill to talk about some distant healing or even, you know, any of the topics that he's discussing and you weren't able to call in or you just, it's something just comes up, you can reach him at BillDoyle@live.com. That's BillDoyle@live.com. But, of course, you can also reach him through Broken Earth as well as through Psychic Nunu because he does have, you know, he's Bill. But this today has been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of things we've been talking about. Remember, the Mercury retrograde, which is in Scorpio, is coming up, and this one is one that can kick you in the butt or it can be awesome for you, just like many of them, but it's going to feel like it's lasting a whole lot longer because it really does take 2 months. It's going to take up 2 months of your life, basically, pretty much. But it being in Scorpio, it's going to be slow because Scorpios are very, very, you know, everything they do is very contrived and thought out and secretive. And so this is going to be an interesting time. So we'll be keeping in touch with people when they have issues, or we'll be asking you to share any of your retrograde issues so we can see what we can see about them, even though the retrograde is kind of difficult to predict. Is there anything you wanted to add, Bill?
No, just thanks for listening, and like I said, you know where we are if you want to get in touch with us. And you know, if you've got any suggestions for the show, or if you've got anything to keep us motivated, then get in contact with us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And one of the things that keeps me motivated was something that David Icke said about just doing what he did and doing what he did just over and over and over again until he reached a place of where, you know, greatness, if you build it, people come. So we just have to keep plugging forward.
That's right. Just want to open people's minds and awareness to help them have a better life.
Of course. Well, let's close the show out properly. We'll see you next week. I don't think we're going to have a breakfast show this week. But we will have a regular show next week, and we're also going to have a breakfast show on Halloween. So it's good to be able to talk to you guys, and thank you so much for listening. What were you going to say?
As you say, the Halloween show or the Tuesday show, if you've got any scary stories,
oh, yeah,
tell us. If it's a fiction or you know, stories that's happened to you, then please phone up or send me an email with your story and I can read it out on the show. Because we'd love to hear your stories.
Most definitely.
Scary, paranormal, you know.
Most definitely. Okay, let's close out with something fun.
Hey, what do you it's a hard to call up the boys. Let's go for the joy ride. Stop the violence from the police, what my dad used to say, but now he's seen. He got caught in a jam, threw in the air when the cops to Brooklyn said he killed another man. Street knowledge was my main game, to figure out the law, to figure out the frame. Just when I thought I knew justice, I got my means and you got me lost in. Don't fuck with me.